Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Search goes on in San Francisco for the man known as the Zodiac Killer.
In New York, the search continues for the .44 caliber killer.
See if you can explain to me why I would want to be a Scientologist.
Betches Media presents...
Tell me we have a lead.
Stone Cold, no.
It was literally like The Hunger Games.
Not another true crime podcast.
What can I say? Tough titties.
It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
Hey guys, it's Danny Murphy, and before we get into this week's episode with Kat Dunn, who is from Big Brother and a huge conspiracy theory head, we talk to her so much about conspiracy theories she believes in, and also this season of Big Brother, but before we get into that, we have a quick message from Casey.
Hey, Not Another True Crime fans, this is Casey. I just wanted to let you know that I have made the decision to leave the podcast. It was a tough one, and I have truly loved getting to connect with you all on social media, whether in the Facebook group or on Instagram, and I loved meeting some of you at the live shows. Also, your super secret serial killer traits have been truly amazing to read. You all are very disturbed, especially the people that put mayonnaise on a grilled cheese sandwich. I beg of you to get help. So Danny and Sarah will take it from here, so you know you're in good hands. And please don't hesitate to keep up with me on social media. Reach out to me. I'm at CaseFaceB. And until we talk again, you guys, take some Pinot Grigio shots, drink some Carol Ann's, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Hey guys, welcome back to Not Another True Crime Podcast. I'm Sarah Levine here with my co-host, Danny Murphy.
Hey everybody.
And we have a very special guest today. You may know her from Big Brother. It's Kat Dunn.
Woo! Yeah.
How are you?
Doing good. Just, you know, as we said before we got on the air, just thriving through quarantine. Texas is almost completely open, so we're kind of seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, whether that's good or bad, I don't know. But personally, I'm thriving and conspiring.
I love that.
Texas like never even went into the tunnel, really.
Yeah, Texas is weird. I feel like Texas like does its own thing. I think it's like our mentality because we used to be our own like country that like literally like, the country is like, hey y'all, we're in a pandemic. Like wear your masks and buckle down. And Texas is like, are we though? And we're like, no, really, like here are the hospital records. And then we're like, really? Like we're going to the bar. But but we did have to-go alcohol. That was a fun change.
That's a fun time.
That's changed over here too. And that's one thing that I feel like I have changed for the better from. I feel like
I'm a better person.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I also love that thriving and conspiring because you have your own conspiracy podcast too.
I do.
Yeah. So what kind of, I am always so curious because I feel like everyone always says, what was your first conspiracy theory that you heard that you were like, oh, I'm hooked?
I'm trying to, well, so first of all, my podcast right now, it's the Conspire Away Bitches podcast. It's a lot of Big Brother because Big Brother's taken over my life. So if you're listening to this and you're like, ooh, good, like conspiracy podcast. For the next 2 months, it's like literally just Big Brother with a sprinkle of like Avril Lavigne.
Yes.
Oh, are y'all behind the Avril Lavigne conspiracy?
We I don't know if we believe it, but we've definitely talked about it.
Yeah.
I kind of believe it. I don't know. That was my first one that I really like dove into. Like, actually, like, you know, it started with, like, you know, I saw a Twitter thread and I was like, oh, this is interesting. Like, what happened? And then by the end of it, I was scared. Like, I couldn't sleep because I was like, you need to tell me that my childhood's a lie? Like, what? Like, what's going on with Hollywood and like the Illuminati and like, how did this happen? Yeah. So that was probably, honestly, I don't know. Cause the other thing is I feel like I'm just the type of person that I don't really watch a lot of TV, but I get stuck in Google rabbit holes all the time. Cause that's my entertainment. So I've been exploring conspiracy theories for like the longest time and not really even realizing that I was like, that there were conspiracy theories. I thought I was just like researching, but who knows?
So what's been the deepest rabbit hole that you've gone down so far?
Oh, okay. People are gonna think I'm crazy. Okay, I'm not. First of all, I have to preface this by saying, because everyone, if do not turn off the podcast after I say this, because promise you're not crazy. But when quarantine started, I'm not gonna lie, I got in that QAnon rabbit hole.
Dude. I knew you were gonna say QAnon. No.
But don't turn off the podcast, because I have to explain.
Okay.
With the thing with conspiracy theories is that I don't always believe them. Like with Avril, I kind of believe it. Mm-hmm. But like other stuff, I'm like, I don't really believe it, but I think it's like a killer Netflix series. Like, I think it's like I love the creativity behind it and the story. Do I really believe that we live in a world of like blood-sucking reptilian elites? Maybe. I don't know. I can't even say no. I don't know.
I would say figuratively, but definitely not literally.
No, I don't. But like the Netflix series behind that, the movie that could be like created behind that is entertaining. So I don't believe it, but take what you will from it. I think it's entertaining.
It's entertaining for you. It's kind of like when people watch cooking shows that don't cook. You're like, that's a lovely cake. I'll never make it. But I'm curious to see how
their minds work. Like, where did you come up with this? And they have like the numerology and they're like, did you see that Donald Trump raised his right hand 3 times during that speech? And QAnon wrote the letter 3 or the number 3 in this thing. It's like the craziest thing. And I don't know how their minds work, but I have to know more. it's like a train wreck. You can't look away.
I feel like the way their minds work is like that game of Mousetrap where you would just like drop a ball down a ramp and it would spin around and hit a thing of cheese on a seesaw and then propel into like something else.
No, but if you ask them, it was all planned. Like how the ball dropped and propel. Like it's the craziest thing.
Right. Even when they're wrong, they're like, oh, that was part of the plan.
Which I do get that part, because even when things go wrong in my life, I'm like, no, I meant to do that. I'm like,
yeah, I was making a diversion because you people were on to me. So, but with that being said, I know that there's a danger in that, because I feel like not everyone reads into conspiracy theories like I do. Some people read them and then they're like, this is true. They don't really get the whole like, no, like just like read it for the fun of conspiring, or isn't this funny, or isn't this, you know, wouldn't this make a cool movie? I don't know. And it does lead to a lot of people's, mentally they get in a bad place because they think that the world's ending, and it's just, I don't know. Yeah. So I guess proceed with caution with those. But yeah, I definitely got in a rabbit hole with that.
A lot of caution. I feel like a conspiracy theory that everyone has, it's always been around, but has gained so much traction this year at least. Do you have thoughts on Free Britney?
Yes. Okay. No, I am Free Britney. Okay, so I'm glad you brought this up. Okay, where do we even start? Well, okay, here we'll start in the 90s.
So, 1991.
So I was born, yeah.
So I don't know, I might be older than you. I'm 30. But when Britney came out in her prime, like Hit Me Baby One More Time, she was like the queen of pop, like the most beautiful person ever. She did no wrong. I feel like I tell a lot of people that Britney Spears like shaped who I am today, because I grew up wanting to be her. I don't know if that's
who
good or bad.
Didn't though.
I grew up wanting to be Jamie Lynn. No.
So that was because when I realized I was like, oh, I can't be Britney. Then I started copying like my hairstyles off of Jamie Lynn. Because I was like, I want this haircut. And one time when I was, this is another rabbit hole, by the way. But when I was in high school, we went on a field trip to LA. I went to this like ritzy private school that we like literally like went to LA for a field trip, but beside the point. Wow. But we went to the Dr. Phil show to sit in on the audience. And I kid you not, somebody in the audience sitting in front of me, they turned around and they were like, is your name Jamie Lynn? Are you Britney Spears' sister? And I was like,
okay.
No, I just copied
what an haircut. Honor.
What?
I know. I should have said yes.
You should have said
yes. Yeah.
So Britney Spears shaped who I am today. Love her to death. But the girl's in trouble. So I guess, how do I jump into this? Immediately.
How would you help her? What would you want to happen for her next?
No, well, she has to get out of her conservatorship. So, okay, so here's the thing. So they're making changes. So if you know anything about the Britney Spears, the Free Britney movement, you know that back in 2007, when Britney Spears basically went crazy, and of course we've all seen that, the picture of her, or the videos of her shaving her head, the pictures of her with the umbrella attacking the paparazzi car, which honestly, I feel like as I'm getting older, I get it. I'm like,
that's a Thursday night for me. Yeah.
Yeah, I literally dyed my hair pink over quarantine because I went crazy. Like, I was one step away from shaving my head. Like, and if there was paparazzi there, I would have attacked him. Like, that's the thing. So I get it. But the thing was Britney Spears, since the age of 16, has been so sexualized. It's actually disgusting when you go back and think about it, how when she was singing Hit Me Baby One More Time, she was only 16 years old. She was like dressed as this like sexy schoolgirl, and like every guy everywhere during her whole rise to fame, like wanted to have sex with her, talked about having sex with her. Her virginity was such a hot topic. Like, can you imagine being 16 and like dealing with that? It's just not
so gross.
Yeah, it's not normal. And then like, so she's been dealing with that since a very young age. And then even before that, you know, she was always famous with the whole Mickey Mouse Club thing. And then, you know, of course she had, the whole Kevin Federline thing was going on. She was dealing with so much, just everything in front of the world that not a lot of people have to deal with, like her, you know, having kids, divorce, and people are looking at her every move. They're calling her a bad mother, and there's the whole battle for custody.
She can go to Starbucks without someone.
She has a lot going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Brittany, I get you. I hear you. Like, I get it. But she, you know, eventually one thing led to another, and her dad said that she was not, or her whole family said that she was not fit to take control of her life. So he put her under what's called a conservatorship. But the thing is conservatorships are really only helpful for like older people who are senile or unable to take care of themselves.
Right. We did do an episode on the whole conservatorship.
Okay, so everyone.
So we're kind of all up to speed.
Okay, good. Because I'll be honest, I'm not like, I love conspiracies, but when it comes to explaining them, I'm like conspiracies for dummies. But yeah. But anyway, so have y'all recapped since she's since the changes in the conservatorship?
I think the last episode we had done was when they were supposed to have a hearing, but then it got Zoom bombed, so they had to move.
Yeah. Was that
so we haven't talked about how like Jamie Lynn now has control?
Oh, yeah.
There's actually a lot of updates we haven't discussed yet.
Okay, so good, we're here. So, wait, did y'all by any chance deep dive into the coded messaging that she's sending people?
In her songs?
Oh, with the yellow shirt?
In her socks.
Oh, the shirt? Yeah, yeah.
I mean, she wears 5 shirts from Kohl's. I feel like there's no hidden messages there.
Yeah, she doesn't have that many shirts.
No, but there is. Okay, we have to talk about the Mars one. That's so funny. She doesn't have many shirts. She probably doesn't have many shirts because she is on a tight allowance. But anyways.
Right.
But, so when she did the whole like yellow shirt thing, whatever, then somebody on TikTok by the name of, it was something Mars, let me figure it out. Oh, Mars Monroe, who goes by Moonwalk Mars, did this whole video that was like, y'all, Britney's in trouble. And this is really what set off the whole like social media wave of Free Britney. He was like, Britney's in trouble. She is, you know, someone said to wear a yellow shirt if she's in trouble, and here she is wearing a yellow shirt and blah, blah, blah. He comes out with this video, goes viral on TikTok. The next day, Britney Spears posts a random photo of Mars on her Instagram. And it was like a stock photo of Mars. So it was like, why?
Really?
Like, why
a stock photo also. She lives on a Getty image search.
Yeah, Getty image, yeah. But why would she randomly post a photo of Mars unless it was a shout out to Mars Monroe, who posted this video that went viral, telling him that he was right. Or that he was like on the right track.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
There's some stuff there. All right.
So it gets even weirder. So then now Mars Monroe, AKA Moonwalk Mars, is nowhere to be found. He deleted his TikTok.
What?
Or did he delete his TikTok, or did they?
Did it get deleted?
All I'm going to say is that Britney Spears' father has a lot of power.
He does, for someone who I'm like, what are you, like, no, I don't want him to.
Yeah.
I just want her, I want her, all I want for her is to move to like Louisiana and paint and just like get it. Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing that I don't get though is like, y'all watched, or I didn't, but she was, because I don't watch TV, so I feel really bad. She was the guest, she was the host or the judge on
America's Got Talent.
America's Got Talent, whatever. Yeah. I don't know. The, all those talent shows sound the same, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not a TV show expert, just conspiracy expert, whatever. She was so normal when she really was. She, like, I mean, I think she's always been, like, a little bit, I think because of her upbringing, she's always been, like, a little bit, like, maybe socially awkward a little bit.
Well, because she's never had a normal conversation in her life, also.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's how we all are after quarantine. Socially awkward.
Oh, yeah.
Literally.
But... So she was always like a little bit like, you're like, okay, she's like obviously like been raised on a whole different level than everyone else. But she, when you look at her like social media videos now, she's completely different than how she was just like a year ago.
That's true. Yeah. It is. Yeah.
And not only that, but her teeth. Have you noticed her teeth?
Yeah. Did she always have that gap? We've talked about that.
No, she didn't.
Is that where Mars is? Who knows? You know what I mean?
I can't explain it.
But what would cause that?
I have no idea. Okay, actually.
I think you have some ideas, Kat. Stop holding out.
That's what I'm saying. Well, I already mentioned QAnon, so I shouldn't have led in with that because now people are like, oh, she's crazy. I promise you, let's everybody forget what I said about QAnon. Okay. This is a conspiracy that I saw that I don't believe, but I think it's funny.
Okay.
I saw a conspiracy that she was a clone and that the real Britney, they're keeping off social media.
Okay, this one actually is more believable to me than the Avril theory.
100%.
I could much, much easily believe that the Britney that we see now is a clone than that Avril Lavigne is a clone.
Melissa.
Yeah.
Because the Avril Lavigne one, I'm like, guys, I think she just like,
she just got a slight nose job and like, and took some bad direction in terms of like her sound.
Yeah.
No, like, Sarah. Avril's a clone.
She's a clone.
She was replaced by a clone named Melissa.
Yeah,
Melissa also the Britney clone? Is Melissa just doing like, she's like a stunt double, but for like celebrities and just going from Canada to the US, Britney and Avril Lavigne?
She might. Honestly, I don't even know what to believe at this point.
What do you make of like the new updates with Jamie Lynn and everything?
So when I first heard that, I was like, oh good, Jamie Lynn has her back, love my girl Jamie Lynn, you know, whatever. But yeah. then upon further investigation, if you will, there's a really strange clause in that thing, in that whole thing, is that something that they added in was that it like, how if Britney dies, then Jamie Lynn is the one who, like, they added in like a whole new clause of like, basically if Britney dies.
Oh.
And I was like, wait, like, why are we already, like, are we killing off Britney? Like, what's going on?
I mean, I guess I would be surprised that that wouldn't have been in there already because like, even I have a will for all my $2 in assets.
Ooh.
So, I mean,
it's
kind of weird that
like,
they wouldn't have one for in place for her already.
Like that's the Carol Baskin husband will, where it's like if he dies or is missing, yeah. And then they're like, that's, I guess that works.
Yeah.
So it's like, are we? I don't know. So I think I'm the conspiracy theorist in me is like the timing's too weird. Why? Like, why are they trying to kill her off? Like, what's going to happen? Is she going to go missing? You know, who knows? The realist in me is like. Just like what you said, Sarah, that's normal. But I don't know. Nobody knows.
I don't know because even the whole conservatorship to begin with, like, I'm totally, like, on board, like, if Britney is not, like, if Britney is being taken advantage of, like, totally free her. But then part of me is wondering, like, what evidence did they present to the court to get this in place in the first place? And I know initially, like, there was a lot of turmoil going on and it was supposed to be temporary and, you know, that I can see. But then, like, what did they show them to prove to a judge that this needs to be a permanent conservatorship for someone who was, like, I don't know, in their 20s or 30s? So, like, that's, like, what I really wonder at the end of the day because I feel like there's a lot that we don't know.
No, Sarah, we know everything.
We know everything.
No, I'm kidding. I know. But man, why do you have to think about all of this so like level-headed?
I know.
Sarah should be like a lawyer because she like actually goes with the facts, and I'm just like, Brandy! Yeah, it really
we have to free her.
Okay, so I know you said that you don't want
to. Like, let's free her if she wants to be freed. I'm cool with that.
I think she does because she was sending.
I think she does too.
I guess, okay, so now I have my thinking cap on. Now I'm thinking like Sarah does. It's something interesting. Is maybe she does want to be freed, but maybe she should not be. But I'm not saying that, but I'm saying maybe they really do know what's best for her. And, you know,
Should be a little like more freedom for her, but not like the whole shebang type of thing.
It is sad that she doesn't have access to her money. Like, she should be living her best life. Like, she should be living the Beyonce lifestyle, going out, you know, vacationing with her boyfriend, you know, wearing all the designer clothes, but she doesn't have access to like her millions.
That part is ridiculous. And so is just the sheer threshold of her allowance. Like, it is laughably low. Like, let this girl blow her money on a few BMWs or whatever. Like, she earned it. And what are they hoarding that wealth for?
Yeah, she's out there, you know, living like her circus life when she's right. Yeah, she should be making the money from circus. Yeah,
right. It's one thing to be like, okay, we don't want her to put herself in financial ruin. That's fine, but I think we read that she spends like $100,000 or $200,000 a year, and way more than that in conservatorship fees. So it's kind of like, who are you really saving that money for?
Let her get a rest on couch. You know what I'm saying? Like, the little things.
The little things.
Or I don't know. It's just like, I feel like she's been working so hard since she was in the Mickey Mouse Club. Like, let her enjoy all of her hard work. And I don't know. I mean, maybe like she could still be under conservatorship. Like, people could still watch her, but she might be a lot, I don't know, wearing better clothes.
Yeah. And did you see, speaking of, because I know you don't want to watch a lot of TV, but did you see Carol Baskin's Dancing with the Stars dance?
Oh, when I say I don't watch a lot of TV, I still keep up with all of the things that trend on Twitter. So I see it all. Okay. I just don't sit down and actually like watch it. But
what was your thoughts?
I guess the fucked up person in me was thinking like, oh hell yeah, Carol Baskin's on Dancing with the Stars. This is tea. This is good. The other half of me, the Sarah side that thinks logically, is thinking, why are you like, this woman might have murdered her husband. Yeah. Like, we don't know. There's an ongoing investigation going on right now. And this was
ads for it in the episode.
Yeah.
I know that. Ooh, that's tea. That is the level I aspire to have, by the way.
Yes. Honestly, same. If I die, please avenge me through well-placed TV ads.
On Dancing with the Stars with Tyra Banks saying cut to break. Yeah, that's my wish.
So, but it's like, but you know what? Like, but she kind of deserves it in a way. I mean, I don't know. I talked about the whole Carol Baskin thing with one of my friends. He was also on Big Brother. His name's Derek Levasseur. He actually works as he used to be an undercover cop. Now he like solves unsolved mysteries on the reg. I don't know.
Cool.
But him and I talked about the whole Carol Baskin thing. And I was like, no, Derek, Carol Baskin did it. Like, she killed her husband. You cannot tell me otherwise. That's what happened. Like, whatever.
Her husband whacked him.
Exactly. Those are the exact, I literally quoted the lyrics. But Derek was like, no, like, it was like, well, yeah, like that would make sense. But then also you have to remember that on at their little zoo, there were lots of zookeepers that could have possibly been the one that killed him. There was also somebody that was their neighbor, like one of his it was like their neighbor, but like he was doing business with him and he owed him a lot of money at the time. Like, there was a lot of undercover dealings that he was involved in. That those people might have been the ones that killed him off. It doesn't exactly lead to Carol Baskin. So
yeah, I kind of like, okay, of course, in typical me fashion, part of me is like, Netflix made a good, if not one-sided case for Carol having done it. But then on the one hand, I'm like, why would she put herself in the limelight if she knows that she committed a murder? Then on the other hand, serial killers do that all the time. So
yeah,
the jury's out for me on Carol Baskin, I'll say.
Yeah, and she, I don't know, maybe she thinks she has nothing to lose, and she's like,
or she, I mean, some people are just that arrogant that they think they're too smart, they'll never be caught, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
so
I think
like,
she's just like, me with my little like tchotchkes, I'm good. And it's
yeah, with my watch. Little leopard print everything.
Like weirdly, DNA can exist and we can find it, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. I was actually really, I hate to admit it, excited to see that Carol Baskin was gonna be on Dancing with the Stars, but I know that's fucked up that I think that. But the tea is.
I think I'd rather see Joe Exotic, like crimes and all. I don't care. He would be a great performer.
Or they should have him do like recap cameras of Carol's performances in prison.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Like on ESPN, he could be like the commentator.
Yeah.
That would be so fucking funny.
That would be so good.
Also, you know that Joe Exotic would dance to his own songs. Like it would just be so hilarious.
It'd be beautiful. That's what Nelly did. So he'd be like Nelly, yeah.
Nelly danced to his own music.
God, as he should.
I mean, as he should, but also unimaginative, but also very appropriate.
That's so funny, yeah. Man, I need to watch, do you think she's going to stick around for a long time?
No.
Or?
Not from the look of that dance, because it looked very much like a senior citizen home doing Zumba, so I feel like she will be out soon.
I mean, listen, if the shoe fits...
But did her shoes fit?
Sometimes America votes because, you know, I for one want to keep her in to see more commercials.
That's the thing.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Watch with it, yeah.
I kind of think she'll be gone soon, but like also I've literally never watched Dancing with the Stars, so I'm completely talking out of my ass.
Oh, I have no clue what any of that is.
Yeah, like
I used to watch it often, but That was a good grab on their end as far as controversy goes and getting more people talking. Because here we are.
Here we are. Speaking of controversy and getting people talking, we had to ask you about Big Brother. What the fuck is up with everyone this season? It seems like every other day there's some headline about like this person being a racist, this person being trash, this person saying this shit. Like what's going on?
Because every day something new happens.
For one, I don't claim them. I do not claim them. But I'll be honest, it's hard because, so on my podcast, since I told you right now I'm focusing just on Big Brother, I actually just released a podcast episode last night, technically this morning, because it was like 2 a.m., but I needed to get it up, where we were talking about the recent controversy that was going on with, it was Memphis, Nicole, Christmas, and Danny. They were all making fun of Ian, who also just got evicted last night. But Ian is someone who has been very open about being on the autism spectrum. And, you know, watching Ian compete, and of course there's a live feed so you see everything, you see him in these very stressful situations where he, of course, like develops these like nervous tics. Like for him, he rocks back and forth because that's soothing to him. He's, you know, he's stimming. And because these assholes think that they're better than him, I guess, they were sitting in this room talking about how like, oh, like it stresses me out when he's rocking back and forth. And then Memphis said how like how can Ian be one person one day and then completely be another person the other day? Not like, I don't know if he realized that that's actually like a sign of autism or not, but like they were literally directly talking bad about Ian for his autism. And it was really horrible to watch. I cried when I saw the clips because I was like, how can these people be that horrible towards not only Ian, but also the huge fan base of people who have autism or are, you know, are on the spectrum that watch the show, that look up to Ian, and then all of a sudden they're seeing him be made fun of. So
and getting ganged up on, yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah. So we don't, well, it's not even ganged up on, it's behind his back. Oh, so then meanwhile, yeah. Ian is over here thinking that one girl's his best friend and like just being a kind person to everybody. And it was horrible to watch. But I think bottom line, it comes down to in the Big Brother house, they have people from different walks of life representing, you know, they'll have the guy from Tennessee, and then the girl from New York, and then the dude from LA, and the girl from Texas. You know, it's like all these different backgrounds and cultures and whatnot, and we all have different upbringings, and some of us have not been raised as well as others, mm-hmm. clearly. And a lot of those microaggressions and just ignorance comes out in the Big Brother house when they're under pressure. But a lot of people like to blame CBS for that. But I think it's a problem with society is these people know they're being filmed. So
that's the craziest part to me. Yeah.
They're having these conversations, not realizing that America is going to be outraged by it. So I don't know. I mean, it's sad. And there was another instance, just recently that actually CBS came to clear the air about, it sounded like one of the guys mm-hmm. who also was the one who was talking bad about Ian. So whatever about that. But it sounded like he said the N word on TV. There was a night that they were drinking alcohol and he was talking about, David, who he's had a problem with, you know, for most of the season, for whatever reasons he can explain or not explain. And it sounded like he called him the N-word, but then CBS released an investigation where they completely like honed in on his specific audio, his specific mic. And they came out and said that he didn't say it, but
what did he say?
It doesn't make any sense. He said, so it sounded like he said, David is a N-word, but then stopped himself halfway in between that word and rolled over and was like, whatever. I personally, when I heard it, it sounded like he was beginning to say, David is an idiot. And then he stopped himself. But then a lot of people were like, why would he stop himself from saying that when he's called it before? Like, why would he stop himself there? But then the audio check came out and it supposedly was saying David said Nicole and then stopped himself.
Okay.
So it's a very
interesting audio check, but okay.
Yeah.
That's what my mom said. My mom was like, who cleared this audio? The same person that cleared Jackson last season, which is a whole other thing.
But, yeah, I mean, what kind of like vetting of these people, if anything, is done?
They actually do a lot of intense psychological tests on us. We're not intense. I mean, I don't know. We just do like, I say intense. Not like that our brains wired up to anything. we took a lot of different personality tests and psych tests and things like that. I like to think that they probably choose people that are a little crazy in one way or another. Because
it's television. Like you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and aren't we all like a little, you know, to make good TV, you have to be like a little crazy or a little bit willing to be crazy.
Yeah.
But.
Oh yeah.
Well, they also do intense background checks. Like when I was going on the show, they did like this whole social media background check and you can request to get a copy of it. So of course I did. Cause I was like, oh, tea. Yeah. And it was kind
on
of
yourself. Self tea.
That's some Darjeeling. Yeah.
I love that.
It was kind of embarrassing to see like the different things that they were pulling out from my social media. Cause it was like comments that I had commented back to people. Like there was from like literally since the beginning of social media. Yeah. But they flagged, I actually have it back up now, but I had this highlight thing on my Instagram from the Beyonce concert. They flagged one of her songs that said the N-word. I wasn't singing it. It was a literal song that was just like playing in the background of my highlight reel of, you know, her saying the N-word. And they were like, hey, this could be problematic. So I was like, okay, you're right. Like, I'm going to take it down. While I'm in the show and, you know, whatever. But it was Beyonce's song. I mean, it wasn't like I was like singing along.
No, yeah.
But that's the level of background check that they do. Like they literally, it's very thorough.
So you think that if these people like were, you know, racist, prejudiced, bigoted in their life, then CBS would know about it, right?
Or, I mean, I don't know, in the case of Memphis, which again, I'm not going to be the one that full out says he's racist because I feel like that's not my place. I feel like he has a lot of microaggressions, but you know, but it might be in the case of someone like him, he doesn't have, he's older. He doesn't really have social media. So maybe these are the things that he just like personally has been saying to his friends here and there. And it never really, you know, he never really.
There's no like digital footprint of it or anything.
Exactly. Yeah. But here's the other thing though, is I feel like I'm a little bit, I don't want to say that I'm like, I don't want to be like, I'm not like other girls. I'm different from the other alumni. But when I got out of the house last season, you know, and you deal with the whole backlash from Twitter and everything, because you're on the live feeds 24/7. Oh, you're going to say things that that offend somebody. Like, I didn't really say any, of course, didn't say anything that was like racist or sexist or whatever. Like, I feel like, I mean, I was pretty unproblematic. But there were, you know, a couple things that they're like, why did you say this about this person? Especially when you're like talking about one of their favorites. Mm-hmm. So you kind of get like trolled by their fan base or bullied by their fan base, which a lot of alumni, they kind of loop social media and Twitter and the audience into this whole toxic category that they're like, oh, like don't go on Twitter after the show. Don't listen to them. Like they're, you're going to get bullied online, you know, be ready, whatever. And I feel like the alumni don't learn from their mistakes because they're so quick to write them off as, oh, like they're just trolling me. They're just bullies. They're just whatever. But really, if there's thousands of people that think that you're racist, like maybe you should like maybe you should think about it why do they think that I'm racist? Like, I don't think I am, but why do they think that? Like, what did I say? Like, and like, you know, like for me, there was an instance where I did not get along with this girl named Kimmy, who is a Black girl from the season. And she dealt with a lot of microaggressions from other people, not me necessarily that I thought, but we just didn't get along. So then when I got out of the house, a lot of people said you had microaggressions against Kimmy. And here I'm thinking, no, I don't. We just didn't get along. But so many people were saying that I can't realistically sit back and be like, oh, I'm right, you're wrong. So I had to actually do a lot of research and a lot of self-reflecting on myself and be like, why is this a microaggression? Why was I wrong for this? You know? So with that being said, I think that all these people in the house have a great chance to become better because Big Brother is not real life. And I mean, if they're going to be saying things like that on a show, like, I mean, Memphis owns restaurants. He's literally someone's boss. Like, yeah. he needs to get this stuff in check before he's faced with some sort of lawsuit because he fired someone for a wrongful doing. It's not saying that he would, but you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of real life scenarios that you can't be racist in 2020.
It's almost like, these people, this is an instance where people are like, hey, this is something that you do. You might not be aware of it. Grow from it. And I love that you're kind of, you took the time from yourself, not just be like, oh, trolls. You're like, oh, actually, let me like try to better myself and check in with myself and see what I'm doing and how I can do it better. That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's hard because I'll be honest, a lot of those bitches on Twitter are mean.
Oh.
And I still block them because they're so mean, but it's like, there's a reason for their outrage. And like a lot of them, I think they do participate in the whole mob mentality and they're like, oh, you know, everyone else is doing it, so we're doing it. But now that I'm watching the feeds as a viewer, and I see this happening myself, I'm like, these people, like, I'm not an advocate for bullying, but these people should be bullied a little bit when they get out because they just need to, like, think about, like what they did and what they said.
And do you have, because I went on Twitter, because I haven't been watching this season, and everyone wanted to cancel Christmas, and I really thought it was about the holiday season, and I was like,
same.
Is this global warming? Is it global warming canceling Christmas?
I was kind of like, Christmas, whatever, we're probably not going to have Christmas because of the pandemic anyway.
So what are your thoughts on what's happening with her?
So this is actually perfect timing, because so with my podcast, I'm also trying to, all these things that we're seeing addressed, just like I said last night, I posted my podcast where I was talking about, it's actually called Why Mocking Other People, or what is it? It's basically about why, I said why mocking other people's disabilities is a bitch move, basically. And then yesterday I recorded, but I haven't released, a conversation that I had with Big Brother expert. He has his own Big Brother podcast and he's Black and he knows a lot about microaggressions, and he's always constantly speaking up for you know, what he sees in the house and why it's wrong. So I had him on my podcast and we recorded for nearly 2 hours to really break down every instance of the drama that's been happening in the house that's centered around race, and Christmas was one of them. And we both kind of came to the conclusion that we don't think that she's racist. Like, we, like, so what happened was she nominated two girls, Bailey and Devon, who are, she nominated them both for eviction because she said that they were an unbreakable pair. But the interesting thing that Amon said was that Bailey and Devon, like, yeah, they are a pair in the house, but they were immediately put together as a pair when they entered into the house because they're both Black. They didn't know each other outside the house, but everyone assumed that they were immediately working together. So they had no choice but to work together. And, like, and they are great friends. So, I mean, like, so of course, like, they're going to, they, you know, they bonded immediately because they got along. But it was like, but he was like, that's actually part of the problem is as long as there's these microaggressions going on in the house and as long as the white people are targeting the Black people have no choice but to work together. So are you meaning to tell me that you're, like, they, like, y'all didn't want them in your alliance, so they have no choice but to work together, and then now you're targeting them for working together? Like, it's like, so, like, that in itself was a very interesting microaggression that I didn't even realize was even a thing. And I'll be honest, I thought that Bailey and Devon were friends too from the very beginning. Like, I, so then I was like, oh, I also immediately put them both together, which is a very interesting reflection on my end. So then he, and but then he also talked about how, the whole, I guess it was more of like with the fight. So then they had this big blow up fight where Christmas, Devon and Bailey were all fighting and Christmas was able to go balls to the wall, angry. I thought she looked a little psycho, but whatever.
I mean, her name is Christmas, so I guess so, yeah.
Yeah. But then Bailey and Devon had to sit back because they've both been on the show before and they both got what they call the angry Black girl edit, where they felt like they could not speak out and they couldn't match the same aggressive tone as Christmas because they then had to worry about how they were going to be edited on the show. And they had to worry about how the audience was going to take them for being this quote unquote angry person, where Christmas could just put her finger in people's faces and it didn't matter, but they could not really fight to the, they had to tone it down for like, to please society basically. Mm. And that in itself is a problem. So it wasn't really necessarily Christmas that was being blatantly racist or like was a bad person. It was more of like, because of the history of the show and how people are perceived on the show and how people are edited on reality TV in general, they felt like they were kind of backed into a hole and they couldn't defend themselves, which I totally get.
Totally. So, okay, we have to wrap up. I want to bring this back to conspiracy theories. Okay, I'm just going to shoot some at you and tell me if you believe it or not.
Ooh.
Okay.
I'm going to say yes to all of them.
You're going to say yes? Was the moon landing fake?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. But I think that we've landed on the moon since. I think that the moon, the video that we see of the moon landing is fake.
And there's something I love about you putting down a monster energy drink saying the moon landing was fake.
Yes.
Thanks. Okay. Is Katy Perry JonBenet Ramsey?
No. And I don't even enjoy that conspiracy. That one doesn't even make sense to me.
Okay, last one. Is Khloe Kardashian OJ Simpson's daughter?
Yes! I'm sorry, but she is.
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, she's beautiful. Like, I mean, don't get, like, but, like, they're, like, and she's a Kardashian. Don't get, like, I mean, she is who she is, but she looks like she could be OJ Simpson's daughter.
Like, a lot.
That's a scandal.
That would be a scandal. Well, maybe you can get your friend in on it and he can solve that unsolved mystery.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he does unsolved murders.
Oh, in that case, we have a whole list to give him.
We don't want him to get in on that whole thing because that'd be a whole nother thing.
That's a whole nother Ryan Murphy docuseries going on, and who has the time?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Not me.
Oh, yeah. Not us either. Well, thank you so much. This was so fun.
Oh, thanks. It was so much fun. Hopefully, yeah. So, your audience doesn't think I'm crazy. I'm sorry again for bringing up QAnon.
Well, tell everybody the name of your podcast so they can listen if they want to hear either conspiracies or more Big Brother tea.
Yes. It's Conspire Away Bitches with Kat Dunn, available on everywhere where podcasts are available. Or you can follow my podcast on Instagram at Conspire Away Podcast.
Love it. Thanks so much. And you can follow me on Instagram at Sarah Lamim, and you can follow our podcast at NATC Pod.
And you can follow me at Kashmir Danny Kashmir with a K.
Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Betches.